Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
Let's read together in the book of Genesis, and we'll read together in chapter 21 and verse 9. Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian which she had borne unto Abram, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abram, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abram's sight because of his son. God said unto Abram, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman, and all that Sarah hath said unto thee. Hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. Abram rose up early in the morning, took bread and a bottle of water, gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent it away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs, and she went and sat her down over against him, a good way off, as it were a bowshot, for she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him, and lifted up her voice and wept. God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven, and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water, and gave the lad drink. God was with the lad, and he grew, and dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer. I want to speak to you this evening on a particular journey that a homeless mother and her son took in Genesis chapter 21. Life is full of journeys. Even today, you left your home and journeyed to the hall. As we were driving down, I thought we should come off at a particular junction. Heather said no, I think better going in this junction, and of course, as you know what women are like, it was that junction that we came off, whether that's a good decision or not. Life is full of journeys. And there's a question that's asked in Nehemiah chapter 1, and it's this: how long shall thy journey be? Here's a question. If I was to say to any one of you, How long will your journey of life be? I think you possibly feel, well, I hope a lot longer than now. But the question that begs is this: is how long? That's a question that can never be answered. And because of that, when you come to the message of the gospel, the only time that a gospel preacher can give you to accept Jesus Christ as your saviour is now. You might have read or even visited the city of Chicago. And on the Sunday night of the Great Fire of Chicago, D.L. Moody preached in Welcome Hall. And it was packed to the doors. People were sitting on the windows as the mighty preacher preached the gospel. And at the end of his message, now he said, I want you to go home and think about it and come back. I don't know if it's tomorrow night or next week. And that night, the Great Fire of Chicago swept the city. And Welcome Hall, where Moody had preached, was razed to the ground. The great gospel preacher said this: it was like the devil had entered my mind to give such advice to a congregation of unsaved people. Scripture's full of journeys. In fact, if you go back to Genesis chapter 4, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and he dwelt in the land of Nod. He went on a journey. And you're all acquainted with the journey that Jonah took in Jonah chapter 1. And he went and he just found a ship. God says go to Nineveh, that great city. Jonah just found a ship. And he went to go into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he thought, if I can get this boat in that direction, then I'll be nowhere near the city that God wants me to be. And if you're to see the Jonah, why are you on this journey? You say this, because I don't like where God has told me to go. I don't like what God is saying. Lots of people are like that. People will come to meetings like this and they'll leave offended because of what they hear. People just don't like always what God has to say to them. And then in Luke chapter 10, the Lord Jesus tells a parable, I think it's a parable, of a certain man that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And if you were to say to that man, why are you going? Oh, it's a matter of course. I know we spiritualize it. But I don't see any great reason that he went from Jerusalem to Jericho other than it was just a normal day. And sadly, he fell among thieves and stripped him of his raiment and so on. That's a lot of application in that. And then there's a young man, and he says to his father, give me the portion of goods that belongs to me. And he took his journey into a far country. And if you were to say to him, why are you taking this journey? He wouldn't say, because I don't like what God is saying, like Jonah said. And he wouldn't say, well, it's just an ordinary day for me, like the man from Jerusalem to Jericho would say. He would say, listen, I've seen greener grass, and I've seen brighter lights, and so I'm taking this journey. If you were to see the Hagar and Ishmael in this chapter, why are you going on this journey? They say, we've got no option. We've been put out of home, and we have no option. We have to go on this journey. And in some respects, none of us chose to be born. We were just brought into the world. And our journey of life began. And for some, it goes on for a long time, others a short time. I was at two cemeteries this week, two funerals in 2 days. And the one thing I noticed when the gravestones was this, is there was a wide range of ages. And so, says the word of God, they left this home and they wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. If you were to stop them against, listen, where are you going? They would say, we've no idea. And the unfortunate thing is this, is it was a wilderness. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a wilderness. I certainly haven't, but the one thing about a wilderness, there's just a vast expanse. I don't know if you've ever flown in America over the Nevada desert. There's sand and sand and sand. The wilderness was just a vast expanse. And you can go in all sorts of directions in the wilderness. And I think, is it just not like life? And you know, people just don't think so much about the direction of their life. There may be certain stages at which you think, well, I'll do these subjects to do this, or and certain stages, you maybe when you leave school or you get married or you get a new job and you start thinking about life's direction. But by and large, people don't give much thought. Just live from day to day, week to week. And for them, there just seems to be a lack of direction. That's exactly where these two are. And you know, I, if you were to travel any journey along any motorway or road, you'll see a sign here and a sign there. And we like signs because it just reminds us of where we should go. But see, in this wilderness, there are no signposts. And life is like that. But into the vast, void, barren world in which we live, the Lord Jesus has put a signpost And I tell you what it is. It's this. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. He's the way. And it's a way that you can believe, because he says, I am the truth. And the direction, or the destiny, is life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, if you were to ask the question, why did the Lord Jesus link these three things together? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Because in doing so, the Saviour went right back to the Garden of Eden, where man went so wrong, where sin entered. Sin entered in the Garden of Eden. And when sin entered in the Garden of Eden, through Adam's transgression, the man was put out of the garden, and three things happened. A cherubim with a flaming sword guarded the way to the tree of life. The way. Then secondly, in keeping with the word of God, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Your life will be lost. Not immediately, but you'll be as one that will die. So the life was lost. And the reason that sin entered in Eve's case is because of the distortion of the truth. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So, the truth was distorted. The life was lost when sin entered. And the way to the tree of life was barred. That's why the Saviour says, I am the way, because the way was barred by the cherubim. I am the truth, because that was distorted by the serpent. I am the life, because that was lost through Adam's transgression. And into this vast world, the Saviour has put a sign. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the question that begs us is, have you ever come this particular way? Is that, have you come the road of the cross, the way of the cross? There's a hymn, I don't know if it's in this book or not, I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. There's only one way to God. I know that people speak about multi-religions and multi-ways and multifaceted opportunities and so on. There's only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the question that begs in every gospel meeting is this, is have we been to Calvary and seen there a Saviour dying for our sins and made that Saviour our Lord and our Saviour and just said, I'm going to walk that way. As they embark upon this journey, you discover this, the two little things, a loaf of bread and a bottle of water. And as you would know, I don't know how long a loaf of bread lasts in your house. But for them, it was a loaf of bread and a bottle of water. And it just speaks to us about the temporary nature of what man can give in this wilderness of life. This afternoon we read in John chapter 5, and although we couldn't comment on it, had we commented on it, we would have said, look, here's a man, he's at the pool of Bethesda. I don't think he was there for 38 years. I think he was in the condition for 38 years. And he came to the pool because at a particular time, the water was troubled. It was a ceremonial Jewish thing, but he had no man to help him. So Bethesda means house of mercy. That was there, mercy was there. It had five porches, that's human weakness. And the human weakness at the house of mercy was this, I have no man when the water is troubled. The law just couldn't help. That dispensation, that period, just couldn't help. And so the man had no man. And so, when you come to this particular section, there's just this temporary thing, the bread and the water, which soon became eaten. And soon became drunk. And the temporary things of life, which only last for a short time, Moses discovered that in Egypt. The word of God says this, that Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now we're well acquaint with those who achieve great things in life, maybe fame or fortune, and some of them come to a very sad end. And the things of time, the things of life, the temporal things of earth can only satisfy for a very short time. And of course they became eaten and drunk. And the peril of this vast wilderness was brought to bear upon this mother and her boy. And we discover this, that she put the child under one of the shrubs because the moment of reckoning had come. This was the moment of death. He was going to die. And she says, I can't watch him. You can understand that. Must have been a heartbreaking situation. Probably a fit young man. And there he was, under one of the shrubs. And he was just at the point of death. You know, that's exactly the position that every individual will reach if the Lord be not come. We will reach a terminus. We must needs die. That's something we can't escape from. Unless the Lord comes, I know that, but we're speaking about the subject of death. We must needs die, says the wise woman. And there is water spilt upon the ground which cannot be gathered up. And here he was at his point of extremity. And she went, as it were, a bow shot, however long that was, I have no idea. And she said, let me not see the death of child. And she went, and she lifted up her voice, and she wept. And there she was, a weeping mother, and a dying son. Well, God's going to intervene, because God's going to save this young man, and maybe not tonight, but the brethren could tell you, the nation and nations that came from this young man. Vast nations. And the angel of the Lord came and said, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not. For God hath heard the voice of the lad. Well, you see, I didn't read of that. No, you didn't. No reference at all in the chapter to the lad, Ishmael, praying. But God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. And you know what I like about this? It's that when he was just a little boy, she would have sat him on her knee and taught him to pray. And years pass, and maybe she's forgotten that she taught him to pray. But in his extremity, he prayed. And God heard the voice. You know, I don't know when it is, but the believers in hospital earlier will come together and they'll have times of prayer. And when they pray, they'll pray that souls will be saved, but these prayers alone will never save a soul. It was only when the lad prayed in his extremity. And I say this to you, you need to pray. If you've never been saved, if you've never come to know Christ as your Saviour, you've got to pray. And says the word of the angel to Hagar, God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. And the soul that was in extremity was the soul who prayed. And I tell you this tonight, there's nothing better you could realise in your life than to realise the extremity of your situation as a sinner, destined for hell and God's judgment. But God has intervened in sending his son and sent him to die on Calvary so that in the point of human extremity, facing death, the soul that prays, that just trusts in him, will enjoy the blessing of sin forgiven and the enjoyment of eternal life. If you're not saved, get saved tonight, and may the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Now shall we pray? Thank you.
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.